Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace, grace and peace. Hallelujah. Welcome again to another episode of the Sounds of Living Waters Radio Show. I'm Brother Joe of Israel, of the Commonwealth of Israel. And today, this afternoon, we're dealing with, today, this afternoon, we're dealing with a special presentation, and it's also going to be a biweekly topic. So people, you need to start getting ready for this. It's a biweekly topic, and it's Visible Secrets versus Invisible Powers. With Rob Christensen. Let me reiterate that. Visible Secrets and Invisible Powers with Rob Christensen. You're going to have to really stay tuned to this because he's going to get into some things. And this afternoon, we're dealing with conversational trails versus aerosol trails, which we commonly know as chemtrails. And let me tell you, Rob Christensen's an old friend of mine, and he got various degrees in biology and outdoor education, and he's also an advocate of climate control and climate shifts and things of that nature. He got his eyes open for those things, and I know we hear a lot of those things in passing, and we know God is in control of everything, but we also have to be watching it. We have to be watching it, and we have to pay attention to those things that are going on around us. And so we are here, and men like Robert is here to tell us this and keep us abreast on these things that's going on so that we can be conscious of what we can do and how we can help and inform the children, because this is their future, all right? So without further ado, let's turn this over to our friend Rob. Rob Christensen, are you there?
I sure am, my good friend Ernest.
Good to see. Good to hear you, bro. Good to hear you.
Yeah.
Let us end on it, man. Give us some more information on this condensational trail versus aerosol trails, man. You know, and the aerosol trail is this chemtrail, you know, that everybody points it to the sky. We see it, but we don't see it. We see it, but we don't know what it is. So please tell us what it is. And we're going to try not to interrupt you because we really want to get into what's going on up there, you know, and not be ignorant to what's happening to our skies. And our waters, because you say it's a thing called ship trails as well. Ship tracks. So please enlighten us, bro, and let us know what's going on with those things.
Glad to do so. I did want to just touch on the fact that my previous opening with your radio blog. I did a little discussion on the book of Genesis, and I think it's really interesting. And I will get into this controversy of condensation versus aerosol very soon. But bear with me, listeners. Just a couple things about taken from Daniel Quinn's award-winning book, Ishmael. If I can sum it up by saying that with the spread of Christianity in the Old Testament, the taker culture, which is so-called civilization resulting from the agricultural revolution, those who till the soil came to adopt as their own story an enemy once told to denounce them. That enemy, the lever culture, so-called primitives, in their pastoral culture, their hunting and gathering. But, you know, the pastoral culture from the Genesis story, and again, at this time in history, there were many other tribes existing through the eons from the beginning of time, well before the Bible was written. In other words, from the book of Genesis, the author, Daniel Quinn, takes the view that Cain, to this day, keeps killing Abel. And Cain being symbolic as the brother, being symbolic of where earth belongs to us. It's a taker culture, the tillers of the earth. We produce extra food, we produce more population, and we keep going and going, which is not all bad. But the other part that was oppressed at the time, the story is told from the point of view of the levers, which are the hunter-gatherers, the pastoral, the indigenous peoples, where their premise of their story is we belong to the earth, we're members of the community of life, and what works well for people. Whereas from the taker culture, you know, we can look at technology. It's like what works well for things. We grow the economy, we sell products, it's thing, thing, thing. So, you know, with excess food, excess people, outward expansion, expanding settlement, civilization, all the way up to our industrial, militarized nations of today. It's not just USA. White man's culture, so to speak, which is probably the origin of the agricultural revolution, the Aryan people of the North. But that's another story I won't get into. Please bear with me. I've got a little left. But we find ourselves enslaved by our tools and technology. So aerosol trails is what I'll talk about as one of those tools, and a very threatening tool, just like the nuclear power and nuclear weapons. So presently, I find myself, you know, we're so detached from our biological moorings. We're turning into robots, slaves of programmable matter almost. We look at our cell phones and we, you know, it's like we're being programmed. So we need to get out in nature. We need to look up at the sky. And presently, I find myself as just another prisoner, our prison industry to consume the world. So I'm really anguished, you know, by the global runes that are in the back lines of the news, not in the front lines. But it's frontline things happening that are backline stories in the news, which really irks, I think, most of us. I drive a truck. I deliver more junk mail than important mail. If I had an Indian or Native American nickname, you could call me Five Earths. That's the way I've lived through most of my decades. But I'm not here to blame myself, but I am here to see that, you know, we're kind of in a time-lapse collapse. A bridge collapses on 35W and we can react and respond miraculously. We need to do that now. It's hard to see what's going on as glaciers melt, but they're melting fast, for example. There's all kinds of evidence that the ocean is in rough shape. Okay, I'm done. I want to ask a few questions to you, the listeners. Condensation or aerosol? Here's a question. Do we have more cloud cover today than in decades past? You know, think about it. Was there more sunshine a few decades ago? Well, you can find the National Oceanic Atmospheric Agency saying yes. Probably 25% more cloud cover on the Earth than in the past. And, you know, stop and think about it. All the output and consumption we have, it's got to go somewhere. And yes, the earth can recycle and rain down some of these particles. But anyways, we have a phenomenon called global dimming. That's what we call this clouding. Another question, what makes up a cloud? You know, small particles of dust. If, you know, that's what I learned in grade school. But what kind of dust? Think about what kind of dust makes up our clouds. Is it from volcanoes? Or is it from dusty soil that blows in the wind and blows up in the sky? How about, you know, think about all the things we do. Factories, automobiles, aircraft. Does it matter to what makes a cloud? Does it matter what source it comes from? You know, water will attach to what's ever there if it's small enough. You know, water vapor. I want to get into aircraft because that I've learned from this website called geoengineeringwatch.org all about this aircraft technology that just kind of blew me away. So back to what we've seen, we see white lines in the sky from jet aircraft. What happens to these lines? Think about it. How many of us just lay down in the grass and look at the sky? And if you see white lines, do we watch what happens? Well, I've seen enough, watched enough from what I've learned that, yes, they do spread out. They become wispy cirrus clouds. And, you know, it starts spreading and covering, you know, the sun. So this is man-made stuff going on. And it never bothered me in the past because it just, white lines, they don't look that threatening, but we're used to it in this world. We see white lines for decades, and that's just the way things are. So all of the above contribute to global dimming, which is increased cloud cover, which I can discuss later. Now, here's a real interesting question, and this is part of my invisible power discussion in the title. What does NASA say about the white lines in the sky? Well, if you read, they call it condensation trails. You know, if there's satellite pictures, it's just condensation trails. In other words, it's vapor. And I have a question for you all. This is very important. When you walk or run in cold weather and can see your breath, do you leave behind you a condensation trail? Does it, you know, if I run 100 yards, do I see my trail for 100 yards? Well, pretty obvious answer. No, it disappears. It evaporates. So how is it then that jets can leave these trails and it doesn't evaporate? Could it be that they spray particles? So the man that did a ton of groundwork on this and found mountains of evidence to back his idea, his truth that the jets are spraying minerals, chemicals, whatever you want to call it, chemtrails. It's a word that's been used to divide us and confuse us, chemtrails. So what does a scientist say about chemtrails? They'll say you're crazy. They won't get near it. So Dane found that, yes, there's all kinds of patents. In his website, geoengineeringwatch.org, you can look up the patent tab and find all kinds of patents. And so knowing this, Dane decided to go about testing. This man had won an award for his solar panels. He was a solar panel engineer for Bechtel. And noticed that there was so much spraying in the skies. What the heck was going on? He wasn't getting much power from his solar panels. So when he found out about the scientific term aerosols, jet sprayed aerosol injections, aerosol dispersions, you know, he started looking up the scientific terminology. And being the scientist he was able to measure rainwater, measure the air, and lo and behold, rainwater, he found the same elements that are in these patents, aluminum, barium, and this is certified. he certified this with California. And, you know, ironically, Dane lives now in Shasta County, where they just have are hopefully finishing the Carr Fire, which was a devastating fire that, you know, just the firemen there are, say it's beyond belief. Fires are changing in their, the way they are. They're just becoming like tornadoes. So Dane spent 15 years with a thick wall of denial on this question of aerosol trails or condensation trails. And again, if the shadows that rule want to call it a chemtrail, we have to be careful with the words we use among the public. If we call these things chemtrails, we're probably going to get dismissed. And in my own personal work on getting at this and sounding the alarm to people, I've had interesting responses. And I forgive, I mean, it's not a big deal if people say, ha, you're talking about chemtrails. There's no such things. You know, that. So some will say, oh, no, this, you know, what you're saying is interesting. I'll investigate it. I've met a man once that said, oh, you know, when you see those trails in the sky, that's jets releasing fuel right before they land. They'll circle around and, you know, leave some fuel. I've had people say, well, you know, with spring trails, no, it's our government wouldn't do such a thing, you know, without at least knowing what's going on. And another one that, again, as I said, this must be a local thing. Well, as Dane Wigington has done his research in geoengineeringwatch.org, this is a global phenomenon. These technologies are shared. There's even international treaties dealing with this. And, of course, once you've got a tool, and the tool, the reason for the trails is to block some of the sun and reflect it so the Earth can stay cooler. Well, that sounds pretty nice, solar radiation management. But if you think about it, just like many tools that humanity and its insanity has invented, we've used them as weapons as well. And I can go into that more, but just think about it. If you have a weapon that people don't even know about, it's going to be an effective weapon. If you can turn off the spigot and move moisture away from a place through the desiccants that the aerosols spray, and if you have the means to spread them out and form clouds, then it's not going to rain where it's supposed to rain. So, you know, you can turn off the spigot, literally turn off the spigot to a country. So there's a lot to this. And again, as Dane said, what it caused me to do is, Dane said this is a threatening, you know, this phenomenon of aerosol spray is threatening to the planet. So he's either a shock jock, a kook trying to get $1 million by scaring people, or maybe he's got some credibility here. And that's what I've heard him say on his daily, his weekly Radio Saturday program, that he's got two generals behind him, major generals, retired. He's got a recent EPA scientist who was fired for even bringing up this issue. He's got Kevin Shipp, a decorated CIA officer with high honor, speaking about shadow government and deep state. So, and he's even got a legal team where there's been lawsuits about what is going on in the skies. So Dane, over 15 years, has built up quite a team. And, you know, his main message has always been, it's all of us. If we care for our children, we have to investigate these things. We have to build up a critical mass of awareness to deal with the issue. So I've gone over responses. All jets leave trails. It's cold up there. Ice crystals. Well, Yellowstone's going to blow up anyway, so why should I worry about it? Nuclear war. You know, it's easy to shrug off this painful news. But to for those of you listening, you know, here are some facts that I think you'll find real interesting. You can investigate these facts on Dane's geoengineeringwatch.org website or other places. They're there. And one of the main ones is just think of jet technology. When you see an airplane flying towards its landing, I don't see trails. When I see it way up in the sky, I don't always see trails. High bypass turbofan technology is what's used in jets. There should not, only in rare cases should you see a trail. You know, when the conditions are right, yes, there may be some kind of condensation trail or aerosol trail. But in general, you should not see that. Here's some other facts. Some days the skies are clear. Some days they're clouded with lines in the sky forming these clouds. Well, aircraft fly every day over the same routes. There's film footage. There's plenty of film footage of interrupted segments in the sky where you can actually see a jet turning off and turning on the sprayers. And if it weren't sprayers there and it's the trail is segmented and missing in parts, how could the jet fly? Now, these are questions I encourage you listeners to investigate. High altitudes also have less humidity. The higher you go, the less humidity. So if the trails form, they should not be prevalent. And again, chemtrails is a disinformation term for sprayed aerosols. You know, if at one time, I think there was a good intention, you know, back in the 60s when Johnson, President Johnson said, "He who controls the weather controls the world." That, to me, is a very psychotic statement. But if we knew about global warming way back then with the powers that be, the so-called inaccessible shadow government, the people that keep the secrets or whatever you want, well, there's let's deal with it. And I think the good intention was the spraying program did cool down things for a while. But the complexity of creation is far beyond humanity and what we can comprehend. So to this day, we keep on getting reports. It could be, should be, might be happening in 10 years, maybe 4 years. And Dane Wigington's point time and time again, he says, no, it's not could, it's not might, it's not, we're not here to pacify the population. It's happening now, and we need to deal with it now. So you have in the website, you have photographs of the inside of a plane with the spray tanks, even with the patent number on the spray tank. What else can I find here? Well, plenty of photos from all over the world have been sent to Dane showing these trails in abundance. There's satellite photos that clearly where you can see the lines that form clouds. And one of the most important things, not only is their invisible government power, you know, the inaccessible elite, and along with the wealthy, moneyed bankers and so forth, we have radio frequency microwave technology. That's invisible power that interacts with these electroconductive particles. Think of it. Aluminum is electroconductive. So those microwaves, there's ways to heat the ionosphere, ionospheric heaters, create heat domes, bend jet streams. Hurricanes have been played with. There's all kinds of evidence like Project Cirrus. So, you know, that's a brief amount of the mountain of information behind the fact that condensation trails is a convenient mask for cover-up. And, you know, in tandem with the microwave technology, additives also from jet fuel can be part of this, where, you know, some of the additives have the aerosol patented materials in them. So I have to pause here. I'm sorry if I gave you all too much information, but I think I've pretty much covered what I can, and you can do the rest of the investigation as far as aerosol trails versus condensation. But
you know,
and I will remind
Rob,
yeah.
Rob, if I can ask this question quickly, you know, I want to go back to when you had brought up aluminum particle.
Mm-hmm.
You said now it's dust in the air. Once upon a time, we was able to see clear skies and so forth. Now we have more dust clouds due to cars and airplanes and everything, and just more mankind, more activity.
Right.
You know, my wife and I, we always talk about, we thank God when it rained because the dust, you know, settled. But now you look at after rain, your car is dirty. Your car is more dirtier now than ever. You think that, you know, your car would be cleaner, but now you look at the windows, once after it rained, you see more dirt on your windows than ever. You're like, wow, you know, it just got through raining. Why is my car so dirty? And that's an interesting thing that you brought up, that is more dust in the air now. And you also brought up something else that was interesting, that the aluminum that's in the air that they're using, and that I would like for you to kind of, if you can, go into that a little more, because if you're saying that they got aluminum in the air, then it's aluminum in the water. And if it's aluminum in the water, then it's aluminum in the soil. And if it's aluminum in the soil, then it's aluminum in our...
Now,
what's happening is that I don't know about, you know, I don't know if... I just know for myself, I'm seeing more and more radio shows and more and more infomercials and so forth talking about, don't use aluminum. Aluminum is... carry, you know, it leads to autism and it leads to dementia and all this sort of things now. But we've been using aluminum since the beginning of time almost, you know, since aluminum been on the planet. Now all of a sudden it's a major problem to health. But the truth is, it's not the aluminum foil that we're using. It's actually the aluminum particles that's actually in the air that we are calling aerosol trails. Am I correct?
That is correct, Ernest. And you are being what, you know, I go back to what Thomas Jefferson said about the public and people like you. We needed eternal vigilance for democracy, liberty, freedom, you know, to thrive. And in this insane asylum we live in, that's what it seems sometimes, we come up with insane cover-up answers to pacify the public. Again, there's so much power and control and at the same time so much comfort derived, especially in the United States. We are the power center, and if you have these crazy stories to confuse people, to cover up, you know, like aluminum foil, then people can relax and they won't protest. But getting back to what you said, which is so critical here, yes, there's certified tests showing aluminum in the water. As Dane said, a dog wouldn't drink it. Way off the charts. Aluminum should not be in rainwater in nanoparticle form or microparticle form. It's not natural. But it doesn't matter to the moisture up in the sky. They'll hook onto it just like any other particle. So, yes, it does rain down. Alzheimer's, autism, now more and more peer-reviewed studies cited by Dane. And, again, don't trust Dane. Just we can find these ourselves if we really look. Are finding that aluminum is linked to all these problems. So over the decades, the long-term problems created are done by short-term solutions, myopic solutions, leading to this dystopic future, you know, where science, academia, the media, the Trump and Hillary stuff, again, the frontline story should be about what's happening to our environment and what we need to do now, not who's guilty and who's not, you know, in politics or what salacious story there is. So that's, it's, and I'll add to what you said about aluminum, Ernest. Again, thanks for bringing that up. The vaccinations that we have, there's adjuvants, I've learned. Again, Dane Wigington has provided information about the pharmaceutical industrial complex and vaccinations, that even the Supreme Court has ruled that vaccinations are not safe, that they can't be just trusted as to be safe. They basically ruled that if you're going to take them, you're at your own risk. There's neurotoxic chemicals that react in different ways depending on your genetics. That can, you know, in experiments they've done, they've eliminated the ones that get hurt so they can pass the new drug, the new injection, the new vaccination.
Rob, one second. Did I just hear you just say that? Hold on. There's the question. What's the question? Who has the question? Okay. Doris, are you online?
Yes.
Sister Doris? You have a question? Is the line open?
Is it on mute? Oh, hello?
Yes. Okay, there she go. There she go. How you
I'm
doing?
I'm sorry.
How
are
you doing everything? Oh, man. Well, it's good to hear from you. Middle of the week. Hey. How you doing? You got Rob on the line. We're dealing with this so-called chemtrail thing, and we got to be careful how we use that because, like you said, you can't use chemtrail because that's like this old sci-fi sort of state of mind. He said use condensational trail. Use it in that aspect.
Aerosol trails or jet spray aerosol dispersions. It's kind of a mouthful, but a good example, a congresswoman used the word chemtrails to explore this issue, immediately got dismissed. You know, the media attack, and that chance was gone right there.
Okay.
So aerosol.
Aerosols, yeah, okay, so we're going to use aerosol trails from here on in. Sis, what's your question or comment?
Oh, okay. Now, do I have to use aerosol? Now, when it says chemtrails, would that be considered like short for like chemicals?
Yes. Yes. In other words,
okay. It's a chemical that's in the air. Now, you guys are saying aluminum. Should it be aluminum or is it lead? Which one?
No, it's a combination of different chemicals that they spray, aluminum, barium, you know, and other metallic microparticles have been used, ash, so, you know, sulfur. But what the agendas are, you know, vary anywhere from weather warfare, to which, I, you know, it is if they're assaulting us with neurotoxic metals.
My question. How can they dismiss saying a chemtrail because that's only short for the chemical that
It's short. It is a publicly accepted word, and it's easy to use. But, you know, Dane Wigington and his site interviewed scientists, and, you know, the scientists won't touch the word chemtrails because, you know, our shadow government, so to speak, has codified that word as a conspiracy word. Just like with 9/11 or the JFK assassination, there's all kinds of information thrown out there that's so confusing. People just kind of... So chemtrails is just a stigmatized word, a weaponized word, that if you want to talk about it, you're using the word chemtrails, it just doesn't fit the credible science. Chemtrail was a word that was from a GI handbook, you know, that they used.
Are you a scientist, sir? Are you a scientist?
Well, no. I've worked a little bit with science projects. I work for the Forestry Service briefly for the Department of Natural Resources. I'm more of an outdoor recreation educator type. But having worked on Earth Day 1990 as a staff, having spent 2 years with Clean Water Action Project helping to get, you know, the state's lottery bill, Reinvest in Minnesota, passed, you know, I've had a passion that's...
Well, it sounds like you're a scientist. That's what it sounds like. Now, what I wanted to go back to the catch-22 on what you said regarding the vaccination, okay, which is true, but then they tell you that your child can't be accepted in school if they don't get the vaccination. What do you do?
That's a real good point. If you're armed with information, you know, like this website has with Dane Wigginton, there is an interview that I watched for an hour. I think it's a local Minnesota doctor who grew up without vaccinations. But it's not, you know, I can't just point blank say all vaccinations are bad. Some are life-saving, perhaps, but our immune systems should be able to deal with most of these things.
Okay.
You know, when we
I'm glad you said that, because that's what the problem is. Because, like you said, our body, you know what I mean, anything we eat or drink, you know what I mean, our body has the ability, you know what I mean, to repair itself, you know. So it has to be systematic. That's why I know you said don't say chemtrail, but at the same time, you just spoke about a shadow government. Now, am I to assume that because if I won't let my granddaughter get vaccinated, would that be due to the shadow government?
Yes, in part. Here's an example. You know, a baby, an infant, it seems like there's an ever-increasing amount of vaccinations that they have these days from the past. You take Africa, and they've done studies with, like, thousands and thousands of infants that were vaccinated. They had a much higher mortality rate being vaccinated than not being vaccinated. So, you know, the website has a search engine on it, and you can look up vaccination. It's tons of information about what I'm trying to explain in a short minute.
Okay. I thank you.
I thank you. I appreciate that question. That was very well put.
Thank you,
Doris. And you're right. We should take that into real consideration, especially about vaccinations. My children wasn't vaccinated. My sons, they wasn't vaccinated, and they wasn't sickly. They wasn't the type of children that was in and out of the doctor and stuff like that. Of course, they had their moments, you know, just
Excuse me.
Any other child.
Well, how did you get around them telling you if they don't get vaccinated, they can't go to school? How did you get around that?
Well, I know for myself, I use religion because it was in my faith, you know,
Thank
and they have, you know, because of that, you know, the right to religion, you know, they can't, that's the law, right to religion is a law, it's a written law that
okay,
they have to adhere. And if they don't adhere to that, then there's a lawsuit in that, you
okay.
know. And so that's the thing, and it is your faith, you know, because you don't know if most of these things are unclean, you know. So it's a truth. And you said it out. You said it at the beginning when you start talking about vaccination. Our bodies have the capacity of repairing itself, so you don't need, you know, outside sources. You know, like okay, well, you got the new virus, the new flu virus coming around. Okay, so you need to take a flu shot. Well, I haven't taken a flu shot since they had flu shots.
Good
in
for
some
you.
Years, I don't even get a cold.
I don't take the flu shot.
Right.
Me neither.
But you nailed it. You said your body had the capacity of repairing itself or repelling germs and infections and things of that nature. What I'm saying is there is some years I don't even catch a cold. So while the whole world around me is being sunk with flus and all these sorts of things, and I'm saying, well, you know, and they say, and I had a flu shot and it's not working. And then, well, duh, you know, you would think if you had a flu shot that it should work, and if it's not working, then maybe you're the reason why we have flus. You know. It's just this,
okay.
I
agree with that.
You're right.
I agree.
So that's great point. The vaccination thing and like you said, the shadow government. It was something that Rob brought up and that we got to take this in more seriously, and that when we talk to people about the environment, you can't use terms like chemtrails. You got to use aerosol. You know, then it start becoming a legal term, and more scientists will be more engaging. It's not a conspiracy theory; it's more of a scientific theory at that point. So the conversation become a more documented conversation versus more of a hocus pocus. You think
exactly.
So that's what Rob is trying to teach us about the difference in the conversation when you use terms like chemtrails. We understand chemicals in the air, so forth, and we understand what we're saying when it comes to chemtrails. But when you're dealing with, you know, people at large, and you're talking about chemtrails, don't use the term chemtrails. Use what they really are referred to as far as when science addresses them, and that's aerosol trails.
Okay, but it's still going to give you the same effect. But see, that's where when he said the shadow government, because we already know that the body has the ability to keep repairing itself. So therefore, it has to be systematic. It has to be in the air. It has to be in the food. It has to be in the water. You understand what I'm saying?
Agreed. Yes, ma'am. And that's a great question, and that's exactly what we're thinking about, you know. And Rob did bring up, you know, vaccinations. You know, vaccination also have these bodies in these same particles inside of these vaccinations.
It's a money making deal too. You know, the pharmaceutical industry. Imagine, you know, there's. I think it's well known trillions of dollars of unaccounted for money has happened out of the government. Where does it go? Well, the aerosol jet sprayed trails, the radio frequency microwave technology that can be used, you know, to manipulate weather. You know, there's a lot of quite dark controlling resources. And, you know, we have weather warfare. The Middle East countries have had 1,000-year droughts right after 9/11, and it seems pretty much beyond coincidence that, you know, the same country, for example, that General Wesley Clark, he named the countries targeted by his cohorts, and they all had 1,000-year droughts shortly after 9/11. Iran went to the United Nations to complain that their weather was tampered with and that it ended up with severe droughts because of it. So this is a global phenomenon. It's not local like I used to think. So when people resist this topic, I certainly understand. I wasn't given a real clear picture of the topic when I heard about chemtrails from the start. To me, it was just crop dusting, experimenting with some chemicals that happened to maybe you can get a local weather improvement, or you can put chemicals on your crops to kill insects or something. It didn't go
okay,
beyond
that. I'm really enjoying this, and I'm hearing what it is, but I want to hear the cause and effect from it. I'm
okay.
Not hearing it.
Okay, the cause. Very, very good question. Let's take a look at the car fire in California. That's happening now. Well, over, I hope. But if you have electroconductive particles like aluminum in the air columns that we breathe, that can even go into our blood-brain, you know, stream, you get more lightning. We have dust fallout from these particles that gets on plants. It's like gunpowder. You have incendiary dust. When you have aluminum microparticles that are not natural, the smaller the particle, the more dangerous, if it's in its elemental, that poisons the soil, raises the pH, then you have plants that can't do the nutrient uptake that's good. Thus, you have drying, aluminum is a desiccant. It dries. It spreads moisture, just like armpit spray. Think of it that way. It dries. So, yes, we have an area that we can create a drought in to sacrifice and move moisture somewhere else to keep it cool, because with moisture you have cooling. We have what's called an endothermic reaction, where there's a patent for, you know, the spraying, where we can create a toxic engineered cool down. But we can make snow when the upper air might be 40 degrees. We can make snow.
Okay, Rob, two things. One is that your phone is starting to break up. All right, that's the first thing, and you're talking, and we're really missing out on you're bringing up really good points. We don't want to miss what you're saying. The other thing is that I want to go back a little bit, and that you're saying that the aerosol that's being sprayed in the air is flammable, and that's what's catching. Am I correct? Is that what I just heard?
Right. With the combination of increased lightning, poisoned soils, more dead plants, you get more drying vegetation, dying vegetation, and you also get ozone destruction. When you tamper with the weather as they have, I can't explain it. You can research, on the website and so forth. How should I say? Ozone destruction, that's on the search engine. Well, then you get ultraviolet rays. Ozone, without ozone, we're dead. So when you get thinner rays, ultraviolet light, whatever you want to call it, that burns skin, it causes more heat. You think of the poles. If there's ozone holes, it's going to melt them faster. If you're playing with the weather so you can even manipulate the jet stream, you can send air up into the pole area and bring it down over the eastern United States, for example, and keep it cold, polar vortex. When it was April and we had almost record cold, 20 years back, that was the third warmest April on the globe. So, as we are, if by the freeze and fry scenario.
Your phone is, sorry, Rob, your phone is really, really breaking up at this time. I don't know what you could do, if you can find another headset or maybe just put the phone to your ear. It was something else that you brought up that was interesting. You said it was the vice president that said, if you control the environment, you control the war or something to that effect.
I'll quote it right now. Vice President Johnson at some kind of graduation ceremony said,
"The weather would control the world."
Right, he that controls the weather controls the world. Yeah, that's Ray Ahead wrote that. Thank you, sweet. You're right. Yeah. He that controls the weather controls the world. And did you just said that Afghanistan,
Iran is
experiencing record drought because of the aerosol or what we're putting over their world? Because initially, I heard you say that this is a military base or arsenal
also military arsenal. Okay.
It's a force multiplier. If you cut the spigot of a country, there's going to be unrest. So it's a force multiplier. Then you can bring your weapons in and impose our American exceptionalism, or, you know, impose our democracy or whatever. Meanwhile, what do we get? We get the resources of that country. How dare they have resources that we need? So when you get unrest, then you can play sides, and it's just a really ugly shell game. So,
as we could say, colonize.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, colonize colonialize.
Back in the 60s, Ernest, back in the 60s, there was a Project Popeye, and they used silver iodide spraying crystals. Vietnam was very humid, but there was not much cloud cover. So by putting these particles in the sky, this pilot who was a climatologist, a weatherman, so to speak, he took pictures of this whole process of how the clouds formed. They got a 14-inch rainstorm, and it washed out one of the bridges on the Ho Chi Minh Trail. And this is a bridge that the bombers were unable to even get to, yet the weather washed it out. You know, drought, deluge, cold, hot. You know, the weather is like clay. It's malleable. When you can play with the weather and nobody knows, you've got a crown jewel, you know, of the military. And again, there's other agendas. You know, these particles in the sky, yes, they can improve, ground-to-horizon communication. They make it more efficient, you know, the way radio waves travel. It's beyond me. I don't understand all this. But there are different agendas. But if we're not aware of how powerful it is, this is the big elephant in the sky, the elephant in the room, however you say. In other words, it's right in front of us, these visible secrets. We can see them, but if we don't learn to question them and recognize them, then we're just it heads us toward our doom. You know, a spiraling warm up that is destroying, you know, the planet. The web of life is, we were a thriving planet, but in the last 40 years, you know, the insect population, for example, the oceans and all the fish kills. You can look these things up on Google. There's their backstory. They should be frontline, not backline. But, you know, it's that taker civilization where we can do all these things to impose that, you know, we've eaten from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. We're equal to the gods. We have the right of death and life. You know, as you climb up the power, any power structure tends to be, you know, according to Dane Wigington, I'm taking a lot of this. If you connect all the dots, we just can't go on this way. There has to be a paradigm shift in the new story, the new premise that we have. It's not that we have to be primitive again, you know, but we can take some of what indigenous cultures and their wisdom had for millions of years, surviving quite well out of the Garden of Eden, so to speak.
So my next question is this, is that, so how do we reduce these things? And I guess, you know, how do we, you know, how can we, you know,
what can we
individually do? Yeah, individually, how can we make that difference? You know, because we are talking about, you know, powers that be, and they have military dollars behind them.
Right.
They have the Supreme Court behind them, and that the Supreme Court even separating themselves from them, but not rebuking them and allowing them to continue. How do we, you know, as individuals,
it's
myself.
It's a huge job. Yeah, you know, there's it's the citizens at fault as well. Dane uses the word program patriotism, willful blindness, thick psychological barriers. And believe me, you know, he had a lonely time trying to talk to people, but my goodness, here's a man that, you know, has taken in his spirit and his morals and kept at it, and he does have a legal team behind him. He does have two major generals. He does have a recent EPA scientist who is speaking out and, you know, has 18 years plus of scientific experiments who can back him up. We have members of the military that are starting to speak out. So as individuals, the best thing we can do is go to a credible source of information that's going to expedite our investigation, and that's geoengineeringwatch.org. There's a booklet. All that stuff is for free. You can order it, or you can have it for free. There's a Minnesota group. There's a legal tab. We can follow the lawsuit that they've done to the Chamber of Commerce and National Oceanic Administration for not bringing forth this information. You know, they tried to get it and they weren't giving it to them, so finally they sued under freedom of information. But again, that website has all the instructions of what individuals can do. And what could be more powerful than what we're doing right now using the internet? Let's say we stage a large protest at an environmental event. Again, environmental groups with their tax setup have not touched this project. We bow to national security. We don't dare, you know, delve into it. So, you know, this whole structure of things, you're not going to get much help from environmental groups. It's basically individuals, groups, setting the spot fires, what I call spiritual fires, so we can pour spiritual water, you know, for the future of our sons and daughters. Getting out and making a scene, and then eventually enough spot fires. What do you get? A critical mass. What do you get? The falling of the Berlin Wall. Those things can happen, but it takes, you know, the ability to face the storm. There's so many ways to put it that, you know, if a truck's coming at you, do you face the other way or do you face the truck and get out of the way? It's, or if you're in a floating boat, do you have a party and while the boat is sinking? And it, sometimes it seems like our football games and whatnot, we just would rather continue the party. But again, if we're wired only for emergencies, only for when it happens, it is happening now. And the internet wiring that we do with YouTube and where people can see and something can go viral, this can spread fast, but it's going to take all of us. It's a moral question, and that's where I have that little poem that I wrote. You know, I like to write poetry when I drive my truck and things like that. So I have an educated background. I love being in the post office, working with working people, whether they're hearing impaired from Russia, from China, from Asia, wherever, Africa. And my little poem goes, it's a rhyme for all times, a riddle of reasons. There's a clue for you, a crime of all seasons. So if we can start removing this keystone of the arch, the same arch that covers up our rainbow, the same thing, you know, that the parch, you know, it rhymes with arch, but parch means drying, fire. They're even using fire now with the climate engineering tools and technology. Some of these crazy fires that are like tornadoes, firemen testify how crazy they are, you know, risking their lives. Well, that's another form of climate engineering. All that smoke is going, the higher the smoke goes, the more effective it is to temporarily cool down portions, critical portions like the eastern U.S., and at the same time, destroy the environment. I mean, once you have a fire, as Dane Wigington shows, there's a lot of green trees out there, but the bark is dead. So their ability to live is gone. And soon they'll be, you know, just tinder. So it's kind of a vicious cycle. But
things are ever more extreme, and the quicker people perceive that, the more we can salvage this poor planet and start healing.
All right. Well, look, Rob, excellent thesis, man.
Thank you.
This is great. Can't wait to have you back. Well, family, got to say that this has been a mouthful. Remember, I just learned something. I learned a couple of things here, and just to
mm-hmm.
summarize what I picked up. And that mm-hmm. is that I'm not going to use chemtrails anymore talking to anyone outside of my group.
Great.
I'm not going to use that term anymore that people would use, because you do fall into the conspiracy theories such as, you know,
yep.
the JFK and all that sort of
exactly.
And they get debunked and thrown in a useless garbage cans of minds, and that's not what
yep.
we want.
Yep.
When you talk about things such as aluminum and things like that in the water and the earth and in the air, you know, that's a real conversation, because aluminum reflects light, and the way scientists is calling themselves. And I remember listening to NPR maybe about 4 years ago. They did a subject on aluminum or reflecting the sunlight, which is calling global cooling, which is they call it mirrors. You know, and
albedo.
Yes. And that it would be dispersed from planes. And so it would be for one person.
They still have congressional hearings pretending that it hasn't happened for the last 70 years. You know, that, oh, this new idea of aerosol jet sprays. It's incredible how thick the denial is, the pacification, you know, the not willingness to face the truth.
Well, this is on a national syndicated radio station itself. So
good.
So it's a real science. It's a real. It's very real. It's active, and they're using
yep.
it as desperation causes.
Yep.
We gotta have you back, because we gotta get into some more of these things. You know, just not just the aluminum, but you have carbon as well,
mm-hmm.
so much more. You know, you got the
I salute efforts of
coming.
Environmental groups. Yeah, you know, they're well intentioned, but if we have a destructive society, we have to address what the destructors are doing, not just, you know, focus on carbon alone. But yeah, I will bring
yeah,
it up.
And we got to, and you know, and when we talk about the destruction, we all guilty of it. You know, I call it the Mugano syndrome. You know, it's like it's fast food. You throw it away as soon as you're done with it. You know what you don't need. You just garbage.
It's a very
very
apt
it's
way
just,
you put it. Yep.
Yeah, and this world has become just that. We've become a throwaway people, throwaway world, throwaway everything, and we just. It's this big party of, you know, well, it's 1999, and when the world blow up, okay, so what? You know,
yep.
I had a great time.
You know, in the book, The Taker Culture, as explained, is it any wonder why people don't get addicted and get drunk and, you know, just because they, you know, this sense that we're destroying the planet, and yet this helpless feeling that we can't do much about it. It makes people ill.
Agreed.
And, as they say, you know, a healthy mind is, I don't have it down to quotes, but is somebody that can face the dark truth and unyielding willingness to face the truth regardless of the consequences. You know, even if I have to die in 5 years, I'll die fighting and I can die in peace. You know, that's the way I look at it. I've done all I can for my kids, and that's the way I want. I have purpose in life, and that keeps me healthy.
And that's the whole thing, and that's what keeps regenerating life. Thank you, Rob. Thank you for another.
You're welcome, Ernest.
Another great radio show. Thank you.
Great. Really
everyone
exciting.
Everyone that's listening, and Rhea for really keeping a copious notes, and
right.
Make sure the board is open, and
yeah.
Sister Doris for staying in tune.
Just because I graduated in note taker, that's what I appreciate is, all the backgrounds, whether from academia, there's some that have the guts to come out of academia, but just like in the Bible times, there's not many. In Jesus' time, it was regular people that came out and transformed.
Even in the prophet's time, people, we ran with the masses versus going with what
yeah.
the truth stood for. So
yeah. There's always some members of the hierarchy that'll help, but the masses got to get going.
Or maybe that's just the way the flow of things in until the grand scheme of things manifests itself. Rob,
yeah.
thank you
yeah.
again. Thank you again.
You're welcome, Ernest.
And God willing, we live. We'll be back here again, and we'll be dealing with another episode of Invisible Powers, Invisible Secrets. Yes, ma'am. Invisible Secrets versus Invisible Powers. Visible.
All right.
Visible Secrets and Invisible Powers. See, there I go,
yep.
trying to do things off the top of my head.
Yeah, well, it's been after an hour of intensity here. Yeah, it's easy to get stumbled a little.
So, yeah, well, okay, well, welcome to another episode. And everyone, keep your eyes open, keep your ears open. So we'll be back with this, Visible Secrets and Invisible Powers, with Rob Christensen. I'm sure you're going to have something else for us. Let's say two Wednesdays, right?
Yep.
Okay, and we'll be looking forward to hearing from you, bro. Man, thank you for the meet and thank you for the insight. We really appreciate
okay.
it. And everyone, we thank you for your time, and we hope we edify someone. And as we say here, at the sound of the living waters, do what?
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible.
Amen.
Have a blessed day, everyone. Thank you again.
Yeah. Blessed day to you.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High, lost, bleed from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under His love, and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise Him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water. Radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.